T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal in Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one to stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two here. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. Next hour, we will be joined by Oliver Maroney of Big Three. They just had a big announcement, and guess what? It's coming. Big Three's coming to Portland, dude. They cool. The playoffs are coming to Portland.
Playoffs.
Yeah, Big Three playoffs coming to
nice.
Portland. Yeah,
playoffs.
Right.
At Moda?
At Moda. August 22nd. So we'll talk to him about that, plus NBA All-Star break, and coming out of the All-Star break, what to expect in the NBA, including the Golden State Warriors making a bit of a run at the end of the year. Yeah, I said it. The worst team in basketball. They may not be done yet. Plus, we will revisit, and I want to get his thoughts on Adam Silver versus Rob Manfred and how Adam Silver has navigated some murky waters. Because in all of Rob Manfred's criticisms, mm-hmm. think of this with Adam Silver. Like, his first month on the job, Donald Sterling happened. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Like,
I remember him.
The way that he handled it, heavy-handed, swift punishment, got it out. He handled it perfectly. It's pretty amazing. And kind of the dynamics between the three commissioners of our three big professional sports. Right now, though, it is 7:05.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Okay. What's your threat level? Blazers return to practice today. Terry Stotts does not anticipate Damian Lillard to be back. They don't start playing games till Friday.
Oh, okay.
Threat level. What is it?
I don't know.
Midnight.
What is threat? In what context? Why?
Damian Lillard. Are you kidding? What do you mean? The heart and soul of the team, not expecting him to be back and participating.
I didn't expect him to be back for a couple weeks. I thought it was going to be like 2-3 weeks.
More.
Could be a month.
Yeah, they said that he was going to be reevaluated in a week, which would be Friday. Or it could be Thursday,
yeah,
which is tomorrow, depending on if they're going from when he got his MRI or when he got injured. This is a concerning one because, you know, Stotts gave this is a thing that could take a week. It could take a month. You never know. And that is Blazers ain't making the playoffs if it's going to be a month, man. I could tell you that much right now. If it's 2 weeks, what do you think the Blazers' chances are?
It's going to be tough. Never say never, but until the last day. We've seen teams make it on the last day. You never know. It's going to be very difficult.
But losing those back-to-back games right before the break and then having this on top of that, that could be a really ugly swing.
Well, and guess who they got on Friday? Nollins.
Team that has their number.
They got a team that's chasing them. They got and so this is threat level midnight maybe, right, Buck? The Cleveland Cavaliers will be on their sixth coach in 6 years. John Beilein out as head coach of the Cavs. JB Bickerstaff will step in. Worst franchise in sports?
Ty Lue left in 2014. His last year was 2014.
No, because you got to remember, you double up on the years where they have two coaches.
Oh.
So they go through them pretty quickly there. Huh.
No surprise. Dysfunctional program.
Beilein becomes only the third coach in the last 30 years in the NBA to not make it through his first season. Isn't David Blatt one of the other ones?
I thought David Blatt made it through his season.
His second year.
He got fired in his second year.
Is this the most dysfunctional franchise to coach for in sports? Because at least the Knicks, at least they'll give you a year.
Dysfunctional franchise or most meaningless franchise? They have a championship. They're not dysfunctional. They had LeBron James. They're not dysfunctional. They're just bad.
Wait, one guy coming in and bailing you out because he's from that city, that doesn't all of a sudden make you functional.
But depends on how you look at it. I don't look at it as a bad organization. I don't. I see Cleveland as a... I mean, it's still got a good... I mean, the owner is... He's not a bad owner. Just can't figure it out. You lost LeBron James. Now, how do you replace the greatest basketball player arguably ever?
But bad contracts
that you signed, that he made you sign, and all this other stuff, is that LeBron James ran that organization. You let him do that. I can't fault an owner for wanting to do at all costs. Now they're just trying to fight their way out of all these really Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, these bad contracts, Kyrie Irving left. They're just trying to float again.
Dan Gilbert and his leadership ran LeBron out of town the first time. He went to Miami. He came back because he wanted to win a championship for Cleveland and made it clear it wasn't because of Dan Gilbert he was coming back.
Yeah,
and then LeBron leaves again after getting that championship for Cleveland because he's just like, all right, I don't want to deal with Dan Gilbert anymore. And they go back down to being in the cellar. I think that's very telling on what Dan Gilbert is as an owner. And it's not great. He got bailed out by the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And he is just lucky that the best player in the world was born in Akron, Ohio, and is from that area. I think that franchise is just as dysfunctional as the New York Knicks are. But at least the Knicks aren't the worst team in the East. Hey, we have a report. Eric Bieniemy, unlikely to take the Colorado job. That went very quiet for a long time.
Sounds like he wants to be in the NFL. I can understand that.
Yeah. As he should. I mean, you remember his time at Colorado the first time with John Embry when he was the offensive coordinator. They did not recruit well. And look, recruiting is a different animal when you're talking about the differences between college football and the NFL. He can just focus on football as the OC in Kansas City.
Yep.
Which direction would they go, though?
I saw a list. Brett Bielema was five on the list of guys that they wanted. I mean, They looked at Steve Sarkisian was on that list. Of course, Eric Bieniemy was on that list. There were a few others that were on that list. You also saw Justin Wilcox's name pop up on that top five list of targeting somebody.
Really?
And if it was Justin Wilcox, I would hire him tomorrow because you want to talk about a much better place to recruit to than Cal and a lot more money and a lot better facilities and just a whole lot better all in from a community because Cal's already hard enough.
You're
probably the last thought on that campus football.
Think of that money. The money difference is the big one. He's losing assistant coaches to anybody who will come.
Just plug them off.
Wet the beak a little bit more and just boom, gone. You know, he's losing his OC to go be the head coach at Cal Poly and Bo Baldwin. Interesting. Discussed this a little bit earlier, but legislation will head to the NCAA's table in a vote in April. One-time free transfer without penalty. So if you transfer one time without penalty, you can go and play for a new school.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great rule. Highly endorse it. Let's go. Allow them to make a few mistakes. Don't like the school you went to. Maybe have a bad situation. Thought you would get a different degree. Maybe you're like, no, I don't like this situation. Make the choice.
Yeah.
You won free. It's not really even a free pass. Everybody makes mistakes. Why do you need to get punished for it?
Something that is a little convoluted right now is, will this close the loophole of grad transfers, or can you grad transfer as well?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, do you feel that you should be able to grad transfer and have the one freebie as well?
Well, let's analyze that very briefly.
Let's do it.
Collegiate athlete means what? You're trying to get an education. And if the priority of the NCAA is to promote kids like they did in their commercials, studying, getting a degree, taking it to the next level, because this is colleges. And the first thing you think of colleges is getting a higher level of education. And if you do your job as a young athlete and finish your education and get a degree, How bad would it look if you said you can't do that? I can't quite process the fact that no, you got your degree, you're forced to stay. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All right. The Seattle Seahawks have found their answer at tight end, and it is in a wily old veteran. Let's get into the details. Greg Olsen, 1 year, $7 million. How big will his impact be on the Seattle Seahawks offense and why he chose to go to the Hawks? Next on The Fan. All right, the Seahawks have found their tight end. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, former Panthers tight end Greg Olsen signing a 1 year, $7 million deal that includes $5.5 million of guaranteed money with the Seahawks. Once free agency starts next month, how can he already agree to a contract?
Because he's been fully released.
Oh, I thought that you still.
Yeah,
you can do that now.
Well, if you're under contract and then you're completely given your release, you can start negotiating. Like if Cam Newton was released right away, he could start negotiating with other teams.
If you were just set to be a free agent,
completely different.
You can only talk to your team. You played for most recently.
But your agents can go out and do all they want.
Okay. Let's talk about this. We've discussed this actually a couple of times leading up to free agency and Greg Olsen and his fit with the Seattle Seahawks. He said, it's because of Russell Wilson I'm going. And why wouldn't you if you're Greg Olsen?
Yeah, I think about the guys that he would have joined up with Washington or vice versa. Not that Josh Allen is a nice little up-and-coming player, but he's no Russell Wilson. The system is built, I think, two offenses are a little bit better, proven to be a little bit better in both Buffalo and Washington. And that's the other thing is I'm not quite sure what the offense is going to look like under Ron Rivera for Washington. Not what their direction is. Do they look like they're ready built to make a Super Bowl run? And Greg Olsen wants to do that. Did he believe that Buffalo was ready? Might have been close. If you're looking at who's the best guy to throw you the football to extend your career and have a run, well, it's a pretty easy decision.
When if you're 34 years old and your three options are Washington, Buffalo, and Seattle, which one is the one that could get you the most wins, too?
Yeah. Well, which situation is best for your career? Because going into the season, you're going to have Will Disley, who's coming off the back-to-back ACLs, and now he's coming off an Achilles. I feel for Will so much, the pain and the anger, the youth in the league to have all the exuberance and then now suddenly just be riddled with injury. So he's oft injured. He's now labeled like that. That's tough. It sucks. Jacob Hollister was a good quality guy, just kind of a guy, did some good, make some nice catches, did some things, but Russell made him look a lot better. And Luke Wilson's old. He's probably moving on.
Luke Wilson is unrestricted, Hollister restricted. So they can still offer Hollister if they want to keep him as the third
guy. And they might do that. And then Ed Dixon, he was on IR, but he's got a $3 million cap hit that they're probably going to move off of and not use it. And this is a guy that they got to have some sort of veteran depth in there. I would bet that they draft somebody or find some other free agents that are less expensive because they want to try to invest in, I think they want to invest a crap ton in defense.
And got to think that they're going to have a blocking option at tight end, too.
And that's what they're hoping Will can do.
Greg Olsen is not that right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't put...
At this point in his career.
I wouldn't put any stock in Will making it through. He hasn't proven it yet. And that's not... That's just reality of the league. You may think it's good, but you got to prove you can make it through a year.
Yeah, there was questions that you had about, Brian Schottenheimer's offense and how Greg Olsen will fit into it. Do you think that they actually make it more tailored? Is this a sign that they're handing more and more reins over to Russell Wilson? Because it can't look the same with Greg Olsen on the field.
No, it can't. And Russell Wilson was on an interview. He talked about it just recently and said, we're going to take more shots. We have to be able to be more aggressive early in games. I mean, they play behind more than any other team in the league last year.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so if you're always having to come from behind, that's a lot of stress on the offense. You can't just play to a defense. You look at teams like Kansas City, you look at teams like New Orleans, you look at teams like when New Orleans or New England was humming and some of these other teams, even within your division, San Francisco and Arizona, you're going to have to play. You're going to have to put up points and you're going to have to be aggressive. This is something that Pete Carroll knows. He's going to be 70. What are we waiting around for here, boys? We got to make a run.
The offense was ripping.
It was ripping, Pete. In other tight end news, how about Jason Witten saying that, hey, playing for another team isn't out of the realm of possibilities. He says he wants one more run, and if he doesn't fit in with Mike McCarthy's system and his plans in Dallas,
yeah,
he'd be willing to go somewhere else.
Yeah, someone might give him a shot.
Oh.
I'd be willing. You could see somewhere maybe like, I don't know, a red, white, and blue. I could see him totally running around in New England. They love their old veteran guys. Bring a good leader, bring a veteran in, inexpensive. He's not going to go to just anybody. He's not. He's not going to go show up in Cincinnati. You're not going to see him walking into any of those programs. He's going to go someplace where there is a shot and a legitimate, stable franchise. And if they do offer him, it's going to be a low amount. It's not going to be much. And he'll be there just to give you some great punch and some veteran punch.
When you said red, white, and blue, I first immediately thought Texans.
Yeah, no, Houston might.
And I was like, but I mean, not because.
No.
I was thinking Texas, like being in the state of Texas, not a far move, decent quarterback. They don't really have a huge threat at that position.
Yeah, I thought Buffalo. Because I think of Patriots, I think of silver, blue, red. Well,
I don't see him going to a place that doesn't have a stable quarterback. And right now, New England does not have a stable quarterback, so that might be one of the most difficult decisions if Tom's not coming back there.
Tom. Hey, Tom Brady taking interviews. You come to me. You come to me. I'm not going to you. You come to me. This is like when Kevin Durant was out in the Hamptons.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have suitors. Those of you who don't think that he's going to have suitors are crazy.
Where do you think he goes? Like, should Tom somewhere exotic into it and be like, okay, if you really want to sign me, you got to come to Bora Bora and take a pontoon plane in and land here and we'll do a private meeting and then get out?
I bet he's got some secret bunker somewhere where they're going to meet.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's got some like the, what'd they call, what'd they call the place where?
A cave.
No.
A dungeon.
Where Hitler had, the wolf's den. Oh. He's probably got like a wolf's den or something somewhere hidden way off in the forest. That's what it was called.
I know, but you're like, no. What Hitler had, where Hitler died.
It was a
giant eagle's nest.
The eagle's nest was his private place up top of the mountain. That wasn't hidden.
That was in the Alps.
Oh, I don't remember the wolf's den. Well, I don't remember either of them. I wasn't there, but.
The wolf's den was a concrete bunker facility that could withstand just. And he was like,
wait, is that where he was when he met his own demise?
That was where he was. Yes.
All right.
Or if you believe some, he's in Argentina, fled to Argentina. Yeah. How many other animal-inspired homes did Hitler have? Do we know?
Did he have a beaver dam?
Well, you had Wolf's Den is underground. You had
it was above ground, but then they dug it out. It was just a giant.
You had Eagle's Nest up above. Like, did he live in a beaver dam at any point? Did he have a bunker there? Jeez, that guy. Anyways.
It's not even 7:45 yet.
No.
But we're 45 minutes in. If there's one thing Rob Manfred told us earlier in the show.
We've had a long day.
After 45 minutes, it's a long day. You can say whatever you want. All right, so Brady's going to be meeting with people. Were you surprised Drew Brees said, I'm coming back yesterday? I didn't know that was news.
No, I don't.
What the hell?
No.
Buck even said, is this news?
I saw like Adam Schefter tweet, Drew Brees will return for 2020 season.
But there wasn't a full commitment yet. Like he had said, I'm thinking about retirement.
Right, but did we think that he really was ready to walk? I mean, I guess he could have walked away.
Did we think Andrew Luck was ready to walk away?
No, he didn't.
I mean, no way. True. You just never know what crosses your mind when you get to that. It's not like get to that age. He's at the point where I don't want to run it back.
It was like football player remains a football player. That was the news.
And he said, I'll take a month. And it was like 2 weeks. He's like, nah, I'm back, guys. I got this.
Yeah, comes back. You start feeling it. You're getting ready for spring. You can feel the OTAs coming. Everybody's getting excited. Let's make one more run.
What do you think he signs for, though? Like, I mean, is it going to be Drew Brees sitting there going, I want as many weapons as I possibly can, and you know, potentially I'll allow you guys to sign the quarterback of the future to a long-term deal, whether you believe that's Taysom Hill or Teddy Bridgewater, and I'll give you a friendly deal so you can give them the money.
Depends on their cap space and what he's willing to take. Really does.
Okay. We have more quarterback news, though. Joe Burrow's getting some advice from a former number one overall pick. What should he do? Here's Buck with SportsCenter. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. All right, Joe Burrow is in all likelihood going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, which is held by the Cincinnati Bengals right now. But have the Bengals already bungled the pick? That's my question to you, because a former number one overall pick is giving Joe Burrow and his family a little bit of advice. This comes via the Cincinnati Inquirer. Former first overall pick in the 1975 draft, a guy who's joined our show before, Steve Bartkowski, is offering some advice to Joe Burrow and his family. Apparently, he was at the Davey O'Brien Award ceremony for the best quarterback in college football, and he met up with the Burrow family, and he said, told them, quote, "They're Ohio guys. I might have offended them by telling them that, but it's the Bengals. I think he should pull an Eli Manning on that one. I said, you've got a chance to do that. That's happened. Elway kind of set the tone. Then the Mannings delved into it later when Eli was picked by San Diego. It's not the best organization. You know, times change, things change. Atlanta wasn't a good organization until Arthur Blank bought the team. It was a terrible organization before that. They didn't know the right hand from the left, to be honest. I know what it's like to go to a bottom feeder team. I'd hate to see that happen to him, to be honest. They beat me up. I spent more time at the hospital recuperating from injuries my first 3 years than I did throwing touchdowns. It was tough." He literally walked up to the family, Joe Burrow, his dad, and his mom, and said, pull an Eli Manning. What should Joe Burrow do?
So I think that this is Cincinnati with a number one pick. And I don't think the National Football League is big into thinking and telling players at this point that you can do what you want in the draft. I think that that's a hard thing for them to be able to understand, because they want the league to have great parity. And they have great parity because they have injuries and they have free agency, but they have great coaching. Now, here's what I know about Cincinnati, and I've known it the entire, as long as the Brown family is in control of this, they are going to have the lowest paid scouting department, the least amount of people invested in management, and they are going to be the cheapest organization in the entire National Football League. That goes across, just ask anybody. Now, I'm not saying that overall they're the worst place to be, but they're pretty close. They're at that spot where, you know, when you go there, you're going, this is a bump in my career. This is what I have to do. Not what I want to do. This is what I have to do. So that's number one. Number two is that the Bengals are going to draft Joe Burrow. They're going to draft. They're not going to give up this opportunity, because that's what Joe Burrow is. First of all, he's an asset. So if this has got to get done, there's only one way this can get done. It has to be communicated by the agents and Joe Burrow that after we pick you, that a trade is already in place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way this is going to happen, because you can't just demand that they're not going to pick and then hit the supplemental draft or wait a year and do that and ruin your career. I don't know if that's the answer, but you're stuck for 7 years. If you Joe Burrow's picked to the Bengals, he is stuck for 7 years, because he can be franchise tagged twice. And so that's it. You got a 5-year contract. They can take the 5th-year option. They can franchise tag you twice. He could be almost 30 before he gets out of that place. So you have to negotiate this prior. And if the Bengals are willing to do that and say, look, we're going to take you, but we're going to take a king's ransom from somebody coming up to now trade for you and give us another number one somewhere, do something, because that is an asset. And Joe Burrow's an asset. And I don't think his management, I'd be okay with it. I would understand it. I would do too. I mean, that's what you're trying to do. If you're going to make your organization somewhat better, you're going to have to invest in it somehow. You're not just going to give a number one overall pick away. You got to get something for it, and a lot for it.
Joe Burrow will be almost 32.
Because he's what, 20? Is he 23 currently?
He's 23 right
now. He's 23.
He could be into his 30s when he hits free agency, because remember, he did sit out a year with his transfer from Ohio State to LSU. Amazing. He's going to waste a lot of his prime. And I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility, especially when you think Tua is a guy that people thought Tua would be number one. And if he gets and continues to get better and better reports on his health and his hip and how that's going, then it could be a conversation where, all right, so since he takes Burrow at one, they trade with Miami, who takes two at three. You get your quarterback and you still get that guy. But at what point then does the leverage start going, okay, when does Tua have the leverage to say, no, I don't want to go there either? Is it only Joe Burrow that has the option to do this?
I don't see very many late picks ever have this kind of option. It usually does come down to the number one. We've never talked about the number 10 pick or the number five pick not wanting to go somewhere. It's always been the first guy taken. The most leverage in the draft is the first one and how you do that and what you're willing to do. I think if I'm Joe Burrow at this point and I take all the information in from Carson Palmer, to Carson Palmer's brother who is training him, to listening to Chad Johnson is going to sit down and have dinner with Joe Burrow. You had Steve Bartkowski. You're going to have a lot of people in your ear. You're going to have a lot of agents in the camp. They're going to try to do everything they can to let you know. Mm-hmm. I know he's an Ohio kid. I know that. But you get one chance at your career. I don't think it's career suicide to tell a team, can we find another option? Because I don't feel comfortable. If you don't want to work at a place, that's my other, I've never processed the fact that if you don't want someone there, if you don't want to be there, then we don't want you there. I've never processed just, we'll just bring you in, we're going to make you here. Well, that's the Cincinnati Bengals mindset. They don't care if you want there, be there or not. They're going to use you as an asset. That's it. We know it. It's already been proven by them.
Do you think they know they're cheap? Like, Paul Brown's
84 years old. You think he's changing?
Well, no. Does he know that I get it. He knows I'm not going to pay for a roster. I understand that. So we won't draft him. Do you think he's understanding of that?
No, not at all. No. That's one of the most spiteful owners in all of, he is a curmudgeonly old billionaire.
So
the only reason he's a billionaire is because he's invested with the Bengals. Other than that, he's sitting there saying, no, these youngsters, they don't deserve. That's how he thinks. I mean, come on. He was born in 1935. Do we really think that Paul Brown is going to be the guy that's going to change to the millennials, to these youngs? Well, no way.
Then that might lead us to believe they're not going to trade him.
That's either side.
You know, I mean, if he thinks like that.
But
then,
if you force your hand, you can force your hand. Yeah. You heard what Joe Burrow came out and said. I have all the leverage.
Go and play in the XFL.
I have leverage.
Wait, what? Do you think he'd play in the XFL? But that could, I mean, the two guys that have done it, it's worked beautifully for them, hasn't it?
Well, actually, we can say it's worked beautifully.
Three guys, Bo Jackson, John Elway, Eli Manning. Hasn't it worked for them when they have used their leverage and they went down that route? They said, no. I'm going to do it my way.
But is
There's
it
not
a good
a lot of people
look
that have?
Is it a good look for the NFL? If the attitude is one franchise or a couple franchises or places we don't want to be in, this is the hard part what the NFL is going to have to argue. And they're going to deal with this is that once we start allowing players to have this kind of leverage, it already tells you that fan bases aren't going to get a chance. And there's going to be that mindset that now players can take away that power that franchises and owners and leagues have always had with the NFL. And that's always been put in place is that there is a shot. Like people in Tampa believe they can win a championship. They've done it before. If you're in Carolina, you believe it. If you're a small market, if you're Cincinnati, we believe Cleveland. You believe so much. You had all these guys show up and then you didn't get it done. Buffalo, we believe, but we do know who always ends up in the championship at the end of the season. The best quarterback and the best coach. That's what happens.
But here, there's a big difference, though, between those other teams that you were talking about, you know, whether it's what's the name of the family that owns the Buccaneers now? They own Manchester United as well. They own the soccer team. What's their names? Do you remember?
I don't know off the top of my head.
They are willing. Here's the big difference, though. They are willing to spend money to win. We know that Jimmy Haslam and the Cleveland Browns, they're willing to spend money to win.
The Glazer family.
The Glazer family.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Glazers were That's historically right. cheap for a long time. Now they're just like, all right, we'll pay. And they're willing to pay. The thing is, Eli Manning didn't want to go to San Diego at the time because the Spanos family was cheap.
And they still are.
And they still are.
Yeah, horrifically.
you had Bo Jackson didn't want to go to Tampa Bay because they screwed his eligibility and they were cheap and they weren't willing to pay for talent. Joe Burrow would be following in those footsteps right there in that he wouldn't want to go to a team that the big difference in all this hope is that the Cincinnati fan base isn't even looking at an owner that wants to win. And so maybe this changes their fan base's attitude and puts pressure on the Brown family, and maybe the league puts some pressure on the Brown family if they think it's a bad look for them.
Well, the thing is, the Brown family doesn't do anything to hurt the league.
No,
they don't. They exist. If that's their sense of business, they exist. They move on. They don't ruffle feathers. They don't cause problems. They are just kind of a franchise. They're just kind of floating around. They don't do anything above and beyond. They don't get too much of a big deal. They have a few good players. They do something. They're not going to do it. Why go after something that constantly makes money?
But
what's the threat that a fan could do to the Bengals?
But that's answering your own question there that you asked, though, in that is this a bad look for the league? You just said the Bengals, and they are. They're an anonymous team, largely. If this is perceived as a bad look for the league that Joe Burrow does this, well, then maybe there is some pressure on Cincinnati at that point.
I don't believe there's any internal pressure on the Bengals. I believe that we're moving forward and that players want more control of their future. It's already hard enough to be sent to a bad place, but if you're one of the best in the world and you want to have a shot, how many quarterbacks have we seen drafted by bad franchises just be buried? Just be buried in mediocrity.
Yeah. It happens a lot in Major League Baseball.
Smith got just, and no offense to what the 49ers were at the time, but they were a dysfunctional dumpster fire, and he just got turned over and turned over. We've seen multiple places get turned over of bad quarterbacks get drafted to spots. I mean, it's what happens sometimes. And I know if we accept it, but if I'm going to be the number one overall pick, I'm not going down without a fight. I'm not going to accept the fact that I have to go to be part of the Bengals. Not. I don't want to accept it.
I love that you dropped the no offense, but they're a dumpster fire because they absolutely were.
At the time, not anymore.
Oh, God, no. They were a disaster. He had, with the first 6 years of his career, 6 different coordinators. Isn't that right, Buck, for Alex Smith? 6-6?
I believe that's correct.
That's
might
tough
have even
for
been
anybody.
7-7.
Seagrams. Wait, what? All right. Joe Burrow, flex your muscles, young man. That's the only time you can do it. Let's go off the rails next on The Fan.
All aboard!
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
Fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, 55305, time to go off the rails. Do it every time, or every time? Every day at this time, except for Mondays, when we do Case of the Mondays, because
it's kind of off the rails.
It is.
We didn't have any Case of the Mondays. We didn't work on Monday. So there's no Case of the Mondays.
That is a fact, my man. That is a fact. Have you seen the survey that beautifulpeople.com has done?
I don't follow beautiful people.
Marilyn Manson. This would be a great time to bring up Marilyn Manson, beautiful people. Mm-hmm. Beautifulpeople.com is an international dating site, and they ranked the attractiveness on the most attractive nationalities. And do you know who has been uncovered as the ugliest?
I do.
The ugliest?
The ugliest nation.
I don't even know. You know, I can just start. The ugliest nation?
Mm-hmm.
Not.
Ugliest nation of males. Males only.
Just men.
Yep.
I don't even want to go because there's already somebody's going to be upset. So let's go.
It's Irish.
The Irish.
The Irish, only 6% of men.
Rory McIlroy is very upset about this.
So is
Conor McGregor.
Colin Farrell. Isn't he Irish? Isn't that guy Irish?
Yeah.
Colin Farrell? Yeah. Irish.
And Brad Pitt.
The ugliest
played
dudes.
An Irish guy. You
well,
were on the bike or whatever.
He was a gypsy, an Irish gypsy, wasn't he?
Well, he's still Irish.
From the chamber.
From the chamber. But doesn't that, I mean, come on. You're Irish, you're probably pale skinned, and this is what they're going with. They're going with you're probably pale skinned.
Haters.
Ginger. And you're probably, but here's where it differs from your Nordic brethren, is that you're probably short if you're Irish too.
Not a lot of tall Irish dudes, huh?
No.
Is that what we're saying?
No. What descent are you, sir?
I am, I don't know. Well, German and Swedish.
So Sweden, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Male success rate, number one, 60% success rate on their side. According to beautifulpeople.com, the most beautiful men are Swedish and then Brazilian.
Wow.
Then Danish, people from Denmark.
Uh-huh.
For those of you that don't know, then I think this is a little low. The Italians come in fourth, Portuguese fifth in rounding out your top five.
Portuguese.
So you think the Italians should be higher? That's your opinion?
I thought
Italian
the,
men are your...
I thought the oily bohunks of Italy and Portugal would be
the
higher.
The Fabio
but
types.
Remember, the Italian men aren't very tall either.
That's true.
They're not gigantors. They're slight. They're slighter sized.
Okay.
In Italy, if we're talking true Italians, like that's at least what everybody tells me when they go to Europe. It's not full of giant people.
But
that's
good hair and good skin generally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Bellissima. Bellissima. It reminds me of the Saturday Night Live skit where they're kissing him, You're like, you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Nope.
You don't remember
I do not know this skit.
You don't know the skit with Adam Sandler?
Oh,
where they have the pepper?
Yeah, where he's the...
Bellissima.
Gosh.
Oh, come on,
he's wearing
guys.
The tuxedo and he's got the long hair.
They're all
I know
waiters at an Italian,
yeah.
And they're kissing all over the women, and the men are like, what are you doing?
Phil Hartman is a very aggressive man. Americans come in ninth on this list from beautifulpeople.com. USA, number nine. 24%, just ahead of Canada. Australia came in at 11th, and that is a bit of a surprise to me.
Why? Really?
Accents, dude.
Men? I thought this was looks.
Yeah, I know. But, this is beautifulpeople.com. Have you ever seen an Australian man strike out at a bar? I've never seen it.
I don't hang out with a lot of Aussies, so I don't
know. Granted, there have only been a few that I've been around at a bar. But the Aussies kill it, man, because they got the accent. Mm. As far as on the female side, the females... Gosh, the Nordics doing it again. Norway, number one. Mm-hmm. Sweden, number two. Iceland comes in third.
Yeah.
Brazil, fourth. Argentinian, fifth.
Where did the Dutch land?
Not ranked.
Not ranked?
Not ranked. Hmm. So you're thinking people from Netherlands?
Yeah.
Then? Yeah, then they are not in the top 16.
Not in there. Oh, interesting.
Or no, they're not even the top 20. Germany came in at 21st. Bit of a surprise.
Mm. Oh, man. Interesting. Quite interesting. You know, is it more because of the Nordic women are blonde?
Tall, blonde.
Tall and blonde.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll do it for them.
That'll do it.
Except for Swedish. My cousin is married to a Swedish woman, and she is nor tall nor blonde. She's brown hair.
Mm.
And she's not 6 feet tall yet.
Not yet.
She might not be done growing. Don't want to throw it out, but she's in her 30s, so I think she may be done growing.
It's probably a good guess.
Yeah. 55305. What is is there a certain nationality that you find more attractive?
Yeah, the one my wife is.
Oh, whatever that is.
That's the one.
Good answer.
That's the only one. That's the only one.
It's kind of a cop out.
It's not a cop out. It's the truth. I told no, it's not. It's the truth. I like dark hair. I'm more of a brunette guy.
See, this is where
I'm. So it's
You're onto something with tall and blonde being up the rankings because Russians come in at 11th, and Russians are tall and they're more dark haired, right? What?
I don't know.
Is that a
Brigitte Nielsen in Rocky was a tall blonde?
Now that is very true. But they tend to have darker hair.
But Brigitte Nielsen is not Russian. if I'm correct.
No. Australia.
Is she Austrian?
Australian, down again, 13th on the female side, and that would probably be one for me because of the accent, and they tend to be taller. Maybe it's the fact that...
I didn't know. Yeah, you could create your own list.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now? Yeah.
You're making me feel like, am I off the board here with Australian being a sexy people?
You haven't mentioned Russian, but isn't your wife Russian descent?
Yeah.
Okay, so you said blonde. You haven't asked her about it?
What do you mean?
Have you asked her,
has never been to Russia.
No, I didn't say that. I just said, have you ever asked, are most Russian women blonde or brunette? Or dark-haired? Or brown-haired?
I have not asked my wife that, no.
Oh, okay.
We have not had that conversation ever. Do you ask your wife those questions?
About what she thinks, who's attractive or not? Absolutely, all the time.
Of the hair color of her descent?
Well, I know her descent.
Yeah. The good text on the text line. Have you seen the Viking shows? All those women. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm watching television too.
Well, true.
Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that one.
I didn't know they had makeup back in the medieval times. The eyeshadow.
Oh, they didn't.
Oh, no. Eyeshadow. Certainly.
You know, if you look at all those Rembrandt paintings and all that, like they are known for being... true to form, and they were the best painters of their time. Mm-hmm. You get a real glimpse of, it was a different era. What was considered beautiful was a lot different back then.
Did women shave back then?
Well, no. I'm assuming no.
I don't know. When did it start?
Like you're talking armpits, legs, and stuff?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. When did it start?
I'm going no way with
when
that.
When did the women say, I'm going to have to shave my legs?
I think you would be...
Is this like in the 1800s, the 1500s?
I think we would be shocked.
The Dark Ages?
I think we would be shocked if we looked that up on how recent it actually is.
1934. I don't know.
I think that's probably a pretty good guess.
You think the 30s was the 20s, the 30s?
Yeah.
Was the time?
Yeah, I bet it was about around there. I think we would be surprised on how recent that is becoming like the social norm of things, of hygiene and care.
Yeah.
Because deodorant is new.
Oh, of course it is. Well, but not perfume. Perfume's been around. Those types of smells have been around. They used to rub flowers on themselves. Right. All sorts of stuff.
It's been around for
a long time. But yeah, chemically, yeah.
It's all relatively new on the care and how we smell and all that stuff. So I'm going to do some research.
You got to like your own brand.
Yeah, everybody likes their own flavor a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Just a teeny bit more than the others. I had a buddy who said, He didn't care because the woman of his dreams is the one that'll appreciate his funk.
Which funk?
All of it. It would be no surprise to you he was a lineman, but that was his theory in life. 5-5-3.
There's a special kind of woman that marries a lineman. I'm just saying. There's a special kind of woman that marries a lineman. All lineman wives are incredible. They're hilarious, and they are a special kind of lady.
They got to be like a duck. It's just the water's just got to bead right off your back. It's just got to just fly right off.
It's a special kind of lady.
I think it's very similar to the type of woman who marries a comedian. You know?
Yeah, but you got to eat more.
Okay. Oliver Maroney of the Big Three. Actually, big news of the Big Three coming out this morning. He'll join us and talk NBA as well in studio next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.